Have you ever had a dream that left you excited, confused, or even afraid? Do you wonder where dreams come from or what to do about them? Welcome to Gateway to Dreams, where we explore and simplify dreams God's way in three simple steps with author and international speaker, Teresa Ward. Teresa will not only help you interpret your own dreams, but she'll also show you how learning to interpret will help you recognize how God is speaking to you all the time. Get ready to be encouraged. Now, here to illuminate your dreams, your host and dream Jedi, Teresa Ward.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Gateway to Dreams. Today, your dream Jedis, Jennifer Stapleton and myself, will be co-hosting and talking about animals in dreams. And we're also going to be interpreting a dream live from a dreamer in Canada, so you'll want to stay tuned. Listen, I just want to remind you also, we really want to interpret your dreams, and we want to answer your questions. So go to the website at gatewaytodreams.com, and if you scroll to the bottom, there is an option to record your question or your testimony or to record an entire dream for consideration for an upcoming podcast. And we really want to do this more and more because I think that's a lot easier to teach you by doing it. And I think more is caught than taught. So we look forward to you sending those in. So let me go ahead and welcome Dream Jedi, Jennifer Stapleton. How are you today, Jennifer?
I'm doing well. I feel like I'm getting over a bit of a cold, but other than that, I can't really complain, or I'm not going to complain about that.
Right.
I'm kind of excited about today's topic. I know we were texting earlier about whether we were going to talk more about people or more about animals.
Apparently, and, you think they're both. You think they're one and the same.
No. It's just, you're like, you want to talk about people or you want to talk about animals? And I was like, well, we could do either.
I know.
Animals just feel like more fun.
I
don't know what it is. I mean, I'm kind of an animal person.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a fair amount of animals and wildlife in my dreams. Maybe, I don't know, more than the average person. But right before we sat down to start this podcast, you know, as I have two cats, which I've mentioned on more than one previous podcast, Orion and Bella, right before we started, they both wanted to come inside, and they are both sitting here in the room with me.
Well, they dream, and they want to hear what animals are.
I know. They're very interested today. They knew they were going to be discussed. And so it was pretty funny because they've been inside all day. And as soon as I sat down to start recording, they both wanted inside. So maybe they'll weigh in later. We'll have to see.
They're welcome to. So
yeah.
I know one of them does a lot of talking. So
that's true.
Which he one is it?
Orion. Well, they both, but Orion was the one that was, turning around, looking at him. He's sitting very quietly on the floor now, but he came in while I was sitting on the computer waiting for your call to start, and he was talking to me then. So super unusual for him to behave like that. So interesting. I don't know.
Well, my comment just a moment ago about you not being able to discern, or you thought they animals and people were one and the same, is because if they listened to the last episode, I said, let's talk about people, and you mentioned cats.
That's true. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So I know. For those who were wondering why I said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Last episode. Yeah.
Because cats thinking are about people cats. To her.
They kind of are. My cats are my children. They are. They're very spoiled and well taken care of. Anyway, also have, you know, the random trains of thought that we tend to go down when we talk about dreams. Sometimes just something comes to mind and then you follow that rabbit trail.
Hey, that's where we usually do. And it usually goes where it's supposed to.
It's very true. It's how it goes from time to time. I'm excited about interpreting a dream.
Yeah,
as well.
We're gonna get her on the phone in just a minute. I'm so excited. I don't know if you saw the stats for the podcast, but I just want to thank everybody for listening because we've only uploaded podcasts since like mid June 8th, maybe June 15th ish, and we're already in 22 countries.
That's exciting.
So we're so
excited.
All of you are listening. I've been to 26, so I'm missing like four. So come on, people.
Let's figure out which four countries those are.
And there are some that I've never been to that are listening, like Turkey and Russia and Japan and Australia and Yeah, Poland, and there's a lot of them in Europe. And
well, that's exciting. Well, as we both know, there's not very many podcasts out there on dream interpretation.
I know.
So I'm really excited if you found us because you were searching for podcasts on dream interpretation. Welcome. Thanks.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for searching. We're happy to have you and talk about dreams together.
Okay, I'm going to try her one more time here. Let's see here.
Okay.
It might be something I'm doing wrong. Okay, it says calling Blair Coop. So yeah, it was exciting because I had briefly talked to her today, and I'll let her introduce herself when we can get her on the line. But she actually bought my book like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And she's an avid dreamer. She dreams every night like I do. So I'm really excited to get to know her. And we're going to begin soon when we can figure out the logistics, two different kinds of groups on the website, well, with the ministry. And one will be a discipleship group, and one will be a mentorship group. And so I'll be excited to get that going, and you and I can maybe get some dreamers discipled. Okay, I don't know what the deal is. I can't get her on the line. So
okay. Well, maybe we'll just jump right in and...
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about animals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
What animals are at the top of your list?
What animals are at the top of my list?
That you want to talk about that's fun or that you get in your dreams a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like cats and dogs show up a lot because people have them as pets.
Right.
I feel like that's something, you know, pretty common because whatever you have in your life, those elements, those symbols... maybe bird lovers, I think, tend to see more birds. I feel like I've encountered birds pretty frequently.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
No, no, not at all. I think, you know, a lot of positive birds from time to time, just being the Holy Spirit, which is always fun
right.
for people, not just a dove.
Right. In dreams. Right. It's not the only bird.
But the Holy Spirit could come in the form of many different birds. I think I've seen, I've interpreted a dream where the Holy Spirit came as a bluebird before. Yeah. And that was really fun.
So, you know, and I say this all the time, but I think the why is more important than the what. And you know, the Bible says, get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get understanding. And so I think the asking the why helps you learn better. I mean, helps you learn faster, not better. Helps you learn. It makes more sense in your mind if you can understand the why. So why would a bird, let's just talk about this because so that people can connect the dots. Why would a bird represent the Holy Spirit?
Well,
I mean, I have a lot of ideas.
I mean, I think there are a lot. For me, the first story that comes to mind is just that the in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And even on Noah's Ark, the dove was sent to see if there was dry land.
Mm-hmm.
The dove brought back the message, you know.
Yeah. Also, I mean, people tend to associate the Holy Spirit with, you know, the wind or the air and the movement of the air.
It's true.
And so and birds move on the air and they're a symbol of freedom. Yeah, they move higher. They're elevated.
Yeah.
For sure.
And
which is interesting in the negative. I'm just saying a lot, there are a fair amount of negative references, you know, to birds being kind of a part of the army of darkness,
kind of like. I've had those dreams.
Yeah. Kind of looking over, overseeing, reporting back.
Right.
To evil parties, what's going on, kind of, and things in the air that are not good as well. So, and those are usually pretty clear in dreams. I think birds feel the dreamers always has a feeling of whether or not the animal is a positive or a negative connotation. And I was going to say, I think the reason why I enjoy interpreting animals so much more than people is that people are less likely to bring a lot of their outside influences into animals in the dreams. Like when they have people in the dreams, people tend to have very strong feelings outside of the dream about that person.
Right.
And they tend to drag that into the dream.
Which,
so as the interpreter, we're always trying to say, well, no, I'm really just kind of interested first. how you felt in the dream, how that person acted in the dream. Like, I'm not interested in all of your baggage about your entire
life.
Although
it does play a role, what that person represents to them. So
eventually, but I feel like it gets a lot harder to tease out the dream interpretation if people are kind of insistent on bringing information in. And we're animals, I feel like, are a little bit more straightforward. There's usually a lot less baggage. And I just enjoy the metaphors, I guess, because I'm an animal person.
Yeah, same.
Lots of words with horses. I've gotten, prophetic words about horses, dreams about horses, other people, dreams about riding horses.
Yep. So we're jumping from birds to horses.
I know. I'm all over the place.
she's like one and done.
There's lots of animals to cover.
I know. We're not going to cover them all today. So we'll just take notes what we do cover. But you were mentioned, let's to back up one step because the why is more important than the what. So I just want to clarify like why a bluebird might represent the Holy Spirit. And it's because one of the reasons it might be is that blue represents intimacy with God and revelation. And so a bluebird, is a, the bird that carries revelation or something, which only comes from the Lord. That could be one of the reasons. You know, I've also had like cardinals come up representing spiritual authority because, in the Catholic Church, there are cardinals.
Right.
And also red, the color red represents the blood of Jesus Christ. It represents wisdom, power, anointing. So it can represent a lot of those things. And cardinals, the red ones, if it's very specific in your dream, those are males. So it might be about a male leader,
That's definitely interesting.
But onto horses. Horses are all through the Bible. I mean, so... give us your insight on what horses have meant for you.
Yeah. So I've actually done a word study on horses before. So this is one that I found of interest to me, but horses represent strength and power.
Right.
That are beyond your personal strength and power. So if you think about like a policeman, but you put a policeman on a horse, right? That policeman is more powerful on a horse. He's
horsepower.
Faster on the horse. So if you add a horse to anything, it generally adds strength, power, and speed. So so I just thought it was interesting, and they can be used in a lot of different contexts. So the context in the dream, are they being used to do something faster or get you further? Or is it elevating your position?
What color is it? Yeah, because there's lots of color horses in the book of Revelation, even. And they represented very specific things.
Yeah, color is important. I mean, I've had dreams with like a brown horse.
Yep.
For me, in that context, representing humility.
And compassion, probably.
How you feel about the horse.
Yep.
Your relationship with the horse. Are you a horse person? If you're a horse person, it's probably going to be something maybe more personal to you. And connected.
Might mean to stop horsing around. No.
It's possible. If the horse
anything
throws you
anything in a dream
off,
is possible.
Yeah. Anything. It's true. It's not bound by any kind of natural laws.
No.
Totally. For sure. That's just another common one I found. But again, a horse is another domestic animal that I feel like people see more and more familiar with. So probably going to show up more in your dreams.
Yeah. And I always, I'm into the details. So if there are details, and so you don't force details if there's not. So if you don't remember the color, you don't remember the type, it doesn't matter. But if it's a specific type of horse, from a specific region, it might have to do with the region it's from, or what is that horse known for? What is it used for? I mean, because there's Clydesdales and then there are race horses, there's Mustangs that are wild and untrained. It could represent somebody who is very powerful, but might, need to be set free into their gifting, or could be, what's going on with the horse? I remember one of the, and this is just coming to my mind. Oh my goodness. I have not thought about this dream in 15 years. One of the first dreams I had when I was learning about dream interpretation was I was being put on this horse, and I remember the smell of the saddle. Like I could smell the leather, and there were so many details
yeah.
that I remember Shocking. About the, I know. Which, so to interpret that is, that's my niche is the details. So right. God's just wired me that way. But in the dream, God was putting me in, you know, and at that time I was taking training that was very powerful, the horse. Mm-hmm. And God was putting me on the horse, and I could smell the leather, and I saw all the embossed detailed in the leather saddle and everything. Mm. And the other thing about that's really cool about horses is that they have a huge like nose, you know, and noses are discernment, you know. And so I really do find that a lot of people that dream about horses have a real gift of discernment, being able to tell good and evil and right from wrong and whatever, you know, just discernment is just the ability to judge and to how would you describe that word, discernment? I mean, I know what it means, but to make other people understand what it means, it's just like, it's the ability to separate or.
Yeah. I think to take information and then make a judgment about it. Like, how good are you about taking a lot of information and saying, yeah, this is what I'm going to do with this. I think discernment kind of means you have an understanding about some information that's coming your way, and then you're making a judgment based on that information.
Yeah.
Or just kind of, yeah, are you meeting somebody, you know, and you're using all those cues when you meet someone for the first time, all of those verbal and nonverbal cues, their eye contact, their posture, and then you kind of discern something about them. You figure out something about them based on all of the data that you're getting from your first meeting. You know, like a first date, you're discerning a lot in those first couple of minutes. Deciding.
I've had a lot of those.
Yeah. Deciding very quickly whether or not you're going to see them again. Not that I have any experience, you know, doing before.
But, wish I could get to the second date.
No. So I feel like that's a good example of discernment that everyone would probably get.
I discern a lot the first day, which is why I usually don't get to the second one. Oh, my goodness. Yes. I have a funny story about discernment. And it was just... And I've told you this one before, so this is old news to you. But when I, years ago, when my kids were little, and we had 16 boys, all of our backyards backed up to one another, about four or five houses, and there were 16 boys. Well, we all were very good friends, and I, with the parents' permission, would teach the boys how to, I would invite them into the sunroom about once a week, and I would teach them how God speaks to them. And I would just say, raise your hand if you're getting something. So I said, God is going to speak to you, and you're either going to see something or hear something or hear a song in your head or have a thought or, you know. And I said, and we're going to practice, and we're going to practice on me. So I want you to just ask God something about me and then tell me what you get. I just wanted them to see, you know, they were getting stuff. Well, years ago, the Lord had told me I had a gift of discernment, and that the nose represents discernment. So so the youngest kid in the bunch, he was probably six, I think, at the time, and he raises his hand, and he's so excited, and he says, I saw you, and you had a humongous nose. And
I remember you telling me this. Yeah.
And so instead of giving them the answer, I said, well, I want you to ask God, what does a big nose mean? And it doesn't mean nosy in this context. and so I said,
that's for another podcast, right? That's for another podcast.
Yeah. So I said, ask Jesus what a big nose represents. And he prayed for a second, and he looks up and he says, it's because you nose a lot.
Oh, that is sweet.
He couldn't make that up.
No.
And that is an accurate child look at the word discernment.
Yeah, yeah. You know a lot.
Jesus loves to keep it simple, and he wants you to understand what he's saying. And so I did tell him how God had told me I have a gift of discernment, nose means discernment, so that he would be encouraged. He did hear from God.
Right, right. Oh, that's funny.
Isn't that funny?
What a good story.
That was cute. So, I actually still have that recorded somewhere on a probably cassette tape.
Yeah.
Or a little, those little audio play, digital players that we used to have. So let's get back to animals.
Back to animals. Yeah. I was also thinking about animals in a negative context.
When animals are
scary, or when they represent possibly something evil or very negative around you. I've actually had quite a few dreams as well with animals representing demonic spirits. I think you'll probably remember last summer I had ended up being an amazing dream where I had a black jaguar that represented an evil spirit, and then I had like a wild boar or a wild hog with long tusks. And in both of those dreams, at least the context was very clear because they were both scary. They were both very dark, black, sinister, menacing.
Right.
And I honestly didn't have a whole lot of personal context for a jaguar or boar. So when I had that dream, I actually did a little bit of research into the jaguar and into the boar to get some understanding about what it might represent in my dream. In that case, I don't think it was two different kind of demonic entities. I think my Bible research uncovered a little bit more. But for me, the interpretation wasn't so much exactly what they represented, but just that I overcame them in the dream.
Right. And that's,
you know, like, yeah. And that was the important part. So, sometimes you might not know the whole meaning, but
right,
if you have an understanding about the basic principle or what that, and that was enough for me. Like when I think back to that dream, yeah, there's probably more information, but I feel satisfied.
Right.
I feel kind of safe with just kind of understanding that I dealt with something that was evil, or God helped me deal with something that was evil, and it's a way for me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know. I thought that was an interesting one to bring up because I just thought about that dream and I was like, yeah, there's probably more information in it. But in praying about it and feeling like it was dealt with, I just got to a place where I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't want to dwell on it anymore. So I know we talk a lot about, we want to understand as much as we can and develop as much excellence in dream interpretation as possible, but sometimes less is more. You're in the details and I'm more of a big picture, and sometimes it's just kind of weighing, do I know enough here to kind of put this to bed, to rest, or right, to deal with it, or do I dig into it more? I think that's just another level of wisdom,
right,
in your interpretation.
But just to back up, I agree with you completely, and I am about simplifying dream interpretation, three steps, and get to the point, get to the message, get to the issue, get to the problem, get to the, you know, the climax of the story. The details just add insight and maybe understanding. Mm-hmm. And the only reason sometimes I dig it out more is because I teach it and I need to dig it out more. So I am totally on board with what she's saying. For me personally, I don't like to dig into it too much. But I do, just so I have knowledge and understanding for other people when I'm helping other people, you know, interpret the dreams. But I have often found the high level cats, the we were talking about this in the last episode and a lot after the episode had stopped recording about how everybody interprets cats as witchcraft, but the normal cats usually are not. Right? Household cats are usually not. They're usually more about their attitudes and their what they represent to you and the type of cat and the characteristics of that cat. But I have found that high-level cats, like predators, like you said, predators, just like birds, there's birds of prey, you know? And I don't mean P-R-A-Y. No,
if you got a buzzard or a vulture in your dream.
A vulture or a mockingbird, you know, or a
element. Raven. Unless you have a warm, fuzzy feelings about buzzards and vultures. There are people out there.
Context always rules the interpretation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like jaguars, leopards, bobcats, those kinds
tigers.
Tigers, cheetahs. those are usually witchcraft. And mm-hmm. what I mean by witchcraft, it can be one of two things. It can be just very high level manipulation, emotional manipulation, making mm-hmm. you feel controlled, or it can be literal witchcraft. There's a reason why when there's shows about witches, they have a black cat. You know, like there really is a lot to the demonic realm with the higher level cats, the predators. And like a leopard never changes its spots, and you know, but what you do with all animals, what I have discovered, that you, where you start, first of all, look at in the Bible. The Bible has hundreds of animals and even unicorns, people. Psalm 92:10.
Very exciting. It's groundbreaking.
Yes, groundbreaking. but there's tons, like always check your Bible first, because there's animals in there you may not realize are in there. But you know, so that is the first place I look. And then I look at like encyclopedias and different things and the characteristics and the traits of the animal. What are the traits of that animal, insect or whatever creature? And what is it? What else could it be describing? You know, like those high level predatory cats hide. They're nocturnal, so they're dark. They stay up at night. You know, they feed, they pounce, they you know, plan attacks. And that's why, you know, you can look into a lot of the various ones have very specific meaning. But, you know, so always check out the characteristics of the animal. I mean, because cats, dogs, everything can have good and bad, even snakes, you know, even spiders. You know, I hate
Charlotte's web.
Yes. Well, I hate most snakes and most spiders, but there is the king snake that eats all the bad snakes. That would be Jesus. He's the king. And spiders, there's a proverb about ants and spiders being wise because they can get into castles.
Yeah. And spiders eat lots of insects that annoy us. Gnats and mosquitoes and things. And I brought up Charlotte's web because that's a perfect example of... somebody who had a dream, an idea about a spider, and wrote a wonderful story about a lovely spider.
Yeah, Charlotte. Well, ironically, I think yesterday I was bitten by a spider. I have this welt on my foot that will not go away. It's like a blister. I think it's a spider.
You know, that's so crazy. This is turning into one of our wild conversations. I was bit on my upper arm by something that I'm pretty sure was a spider.
Oh my
goodness. Last week.
Oh my
gosh. And then today... Today when I was watering my garden, now I have a little welt on my finger, and it's got to be a spider bite because I mean
it's
kind of moving my plants around.
I was talking to my mom last week. I can't remember who she said it was, but somebody we know got bit by like a brown recluse and was in the hospital, almost died.
Gosh. Gotta be
so most spiders are evil. Smash them.
They're from the fallen. You're an animal biologist. Yeah, no. Please don't call us about this episode.
Well, you and I know Chris Carter, and I just listened to an episode of his the other day. He was being interviewed on Kingdom Talk or something, and he was just like, "Spiders are from the fallen. Kill them all."
But
just context is always the key. So did it feel good or bad in the dream? Because if it could have a good context. So, but this blister is like hurting really badly. It's like on my inside of my left foot. So anyway, so I had some unusual ones. So one time I was doing, this was years ago, and it was career day. It was like bring your parents in to talk about their careers.
Okay.
And when Brandon was in, I think, seventh grade, so it was middle school. This is the only time on the planet I'm allowed to talk about God in schools because of what I do. And so, you know, I'm a dream interpreter, a biblical dream interpreter. So we teach the Hebraic, the ancient Hebraic form of dream interpretation. And so anyway, I got to go in and for an entire day talk to every single class for the whole day about dream interpretation. And it was so amazing. These kids were having incredible dreams. And I just remember one of the boys in one of the classes, he says, so what does a porcupine mean? Well, I've never had a porcupine in a dream.
Yeah.
And so I was on the spot, but the Holy Spirit just gave me an instant download for this specific boy. And I would think in my natural mind, I said, well, and I started brainstorming like I do. And I said, well, you know, because you're thinking about the porcupine as the defense mechanism and the quills. And, you know, so I said it could be somebody who's defensive and wants to keep people at a distance because they feel, you know, at harm or something. They don't feel mm-hmm. safe. But for him, I said, but you know what I think God's telling you? I said, and so, you know how I always teach people, be humble about your, don't declare this is that. Even if you're probably right, just ask the question instead of telling them the answer. And so I asked him, based on what I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me, I said, do you like to write? And he freaked out. He says, oh my gosh, how did you know? How did you know I love to write? When I grow up, I want to be an author, you know? And he's just like telling me all this stuff. I said, because God just showed me that the porcupine for you means it's the writing quill. And you're a writer, and God wants to encourage you that you should write, and that he is showing you this in dreams, even, you know. And he was so, he almost cried in seventh grade. Aww. Almost cried. And he's like, I want to learn about dream interpretation. I want to learn everything there is about dream interpretation. Tell me where I need to, you know, like, he was so excited because God spoke to him. And you can't make that stuff up. And I didn't know that answer before the question
came. Right.
And, but you just kind of brainstorm. So, you know, you think about the porcupine. Most people think, oh, you know, dangerous. They throw their quills, you know? And it could mean like, you know, like the first, what God showed me was a vision. I had a vision and I saw a pen quill. And he was showing me that the porcupine meant that for him. And, you know, even that maybe he is like a porcupine and he's very misunderstood. And he was like a very awkward kind of kid. And I say awkward in a very loving context. I think he felt awkward.
Right.
You know, he and that, I think that's why he was so excited, because God recognized him, you know? And,
right. Something that he loved and yes. appreciated and had desire for was illuminated and given life. Yeah.
So I think that was just one of my, that was one of the funnest ones.
Aww.
Have you ever had like rats in your dreams? Speaking of negative animals, I interpret a lot of rats, and I've had them in my dreams before. And I did a word study, like you said you did with horses. And the root word for rat is rodeer. It's a rodent, right? For a rodent, it's rodeer. And it means to gnaw at. And what I discovered about rats and mice and different things is it's one of a couple things. One is it's usually something that's gnawing at you.
I don't think I've ever had rats in dreams. I've interpreted rats in dreams.
Yeah. What did you interpret them as?
Infestation.
Yeah.
You know, getting into something they're not supposed to, needing to get something out.
Yeah.
They were negative
yeah.
in the dreams. I don't know if I've seen a positive rat dream.
Me either. I think some creatures really are, I don't know if there's a lot of redeeming value in some of them, but like what I shared when you were not on the call was I used to have rats in dreams for other people and for myself. And I did a word study, and the root word for rat, for a rodent, is rodeer. And it means to gnaw at. And so it usually represents things that are gnawing at you.
Interesting.
Bothering you, won't let you go, you know. And also, like you said, it was, you know, rats cause a lot of destruction, and they feed on garbage. Yeah. So sometimes it's like people that feed on gossip, garbage, and, you know, just things that are trying to destroy you. You know, movies maybe you're watching, or things you're listening to, things like that. So
that's possible. Well, hey, I just wanted to mention, would you like to try and call Blair again?
Let me try to get her back online. We will try to do this together. All these bonding moments we have.
I know. It's very exciting.
Okay. So I just hit add. So it says calling Blair Coop. La-di-da. This is where we need elevator music.
I know. That's true. Or some like wild intro sound.
Well, I could do some backup. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. We are... Oh, Blair, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I am so excited. We've been talking about having you on, and so we've tried a couple of times, and our internet connection just has not been great. But welcome to the program. Thank you so much for making time to be here tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited you sent in a dream. We want to help you with that dream. But before we get started, can you just share like how often you dream and how you heard about us and just a little brief background?
You bet. Okay. I'm from Canada.
Where at?
And I have Saskatchewan.
Great.
And I have three kids, and I've been married for 15 years.
Awesome.
And I have been dreaming forever. And, well, first, I was just wondering, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure you stay close to the mic, and it sounds great.
Okay. No, I can. So I've been dreaming for, like, forever. And, for example, probably... less than 2 weeks ago, I had 9 dreams one night. Granted, they weren't terribly long dreams, but 9 of them.
Very my sister, dreams. I wow. love you. I thought I was the only one.
I was so thrilled. And then for a couple nights, I didn't have dreams. And I was so heartbroken.
I know.
I was like, So I've got a lot of crazy recurring dreams. A lot of themes that recur in them that are very memorable to me. And I think I do have some prophetic dreams.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure that that's why you dream all the time. I'm sure that one of your giftings from the Lord is, everybody dreams, every single person. You may not remember them, but scientifically it's proven that everybody dreams. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in scripture, it does say that he talks a lot of times, this isn't the only way, but one of the things he says is he talks to his prophets in dreams. And so I find that people that dream and remember their dreams a lot, sometimes, not always, but sometimes have a prophetic calling or a prophetic mm-hmm. gifting. And the other thing I find with people that remember a lot of their dreams are a lot of the creative people, a lot of artists, dancers, you know, people that invent, they love processing things. And so mm-hmm. they love processing dreams. And so they tend to want to remember their dreams more. And, but you sent in one of your dreams. You went to the website and recorded a dream, and we want to help you with that dream. And so
okay.
we'll start there. And
okay.
So first of all, let me introduce you to Jennifer Stapleton. She's a co-host on Gateway to Dreams, and she's got, she's amazing, and she's been interpreting dreams as long as I have. And we both have different ways of doing it, so I think we'll come at your dream with two different perspectives, and I think it will help those people listening see how different people interpret dreams. And so...
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. All right, I'm excited.
So why don't you just share your dream with us and just take us through the dream. Stay inside the dream when you share the first time and just mm-hmm. take us in as much detail as you can from beginning to end.
Okay. Well, my daughter and I, my 4-year-old daughter, Elle, we went to a restaurant and it was think it was Montana's, but I'm not sure. It was something kind of like that. And anyway, there was a bench where you had to sit to be waited and wait to be seated, I should say. And while we were there, I was kind of, I don't know what I said, but I was kind of saying a couple things to my daughter with a Southern accent, in a Southern accent. And she didn't find that weird because I'm dramatic and I do that. And so the waitress comes up to us and showed us to our table. And I don't know if I can't remember exactly if I ordered in a Southern accent or she just heard me speaking to my daughter in a Southern accent. And she said something about, oh, the deal. And she explained this deal to me. What it was, you know, the birthday cake deal you get at restaurants if it's your birthday. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Are you guys familiar with that one? Yep. It's not just in Canada. Okay. I wasn't sure if that was Canadian. Well, she said that they have a deal where if you speak in a Southern accent, you possibly are from one of the Southern states. I'm not sure which one she said, but a Southern state. And she said, if you're from a Southern state, you get a special deal for like a couple free meals or something. And I thought in my head, I didn't know that. That's not why I came in. But I didn't correct her. I didn't say, oh, I'm just pretending, being goofy with my daughter. And I was just like, okay. And she's like, so we have some trivia though, to see if you're really from one of the Southern states or if you're just pretending. And she's like, and I was thinking in my head in the dream, I was like, oh no, I can't answer a question from trivia of Alabama or something. And she was like, but it's multiple choice. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is awesome. I have a chance. And so she asked me, and it was like a super obscure question. I can't remember it, but I didn't answer it correctly. And she was like, well, just in case you possibly are from one of the Southern states, but you still got the question wrong, she's like, I'll give you some sort of deal. So I'll give you a free kids meal, or I forget if it was kids or adult meal, but one of our meals was free. And she walked away, and I remember looking at the waitress, and I forget if I said this in a Southern accent to my daughter or not, but I was thinking like, wow, woo, I got away with that. And like, wow, I got something free and I didn't expect that. And I was wondering kind of why I didn't stop her, because that's not like me at all. Not even in my dream. It was kind of weird, but it's definitely not like me for real. And yeah, so anyway, that was the end of the dream, but I assume I got a free meal.
Well, I think, first of all, people did not hear the first time you shared the dream on our website, and this was a lot more detail than you did on the website. And which is good, because this is what we tell people. The more you talk about it, the more details come out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the words you used before was you felt a little sheepish or surprised or awkward.
Oh.
You know, and the word sheepish really stuck out to me. And there was something else. So what are the three titles you gave this dream? Because we teach people with TEA, titles, emotions, actions. And
you bet.
What are the three titles you would give it?
I had all sorts of titles. And oh my God, I whenever I got your call, I just
I have them
the
written
door.
Down if you need a help. If you need help.
Well, I'm with
free mail.
Free meal. And I can't believe I got away with that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying.
Yeah. And one of your old titles was Faked Without Trying or something like that. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what were your top three emotions in this dream? I wrote some down, but I want them to come straight from your recollection.
I think pleasantly surprised. And I keep wanting to say sheepish, but that's not
that's what good.
I written.
No, that's good.
Pleasantly surprised. And what else did
something
I write?
Unexpected. So you use the word unexpected.
Unexpected. Okay, that sounds. I definitely felt that in the dream.
Yeah.
I cannot find my other.
It's okay.
Unexpected.
That's okay. It'll come out as Jennifer and I are starting to help you brainstorm with the dream. Everything will make sense as we go. So, Jennifer, where would you take it from here? I mean, I've got, you know, things I can run off on, but what are the first things that are coming to your mind to do with this dream?
Yeah. Well, I normally go straight for the interpretation and then fill in the details, which I know.
You do outside in, I do inside out, which is why I love doing this with you.
Yeah, because for me, I feel like the interpretation has been summed up in the titles that you created.
Exactly, so, which is my point, people. You have to learn to title your dreams.
You've got to learn to tell your dreams. So I would ask, is there anything going on in your life where you've been pleasantly surprised or you felt like something's kind of fallen into your lap, so to speak, that you just, I'm like, wow, I mean, I know I didn't earn that, but I'm kind of glad that happened.
well, definitely salvation. I didn't earn one. But it was a really weird thing, and I'm not even sure. I'm on the fence about this. But anyway, okay. It's nothing important. We subscribe to PureFlix in my family, and we're on the free trial or whatever of PureFlix. And I forget how it came up, but with the kids, it was just like, oh, that you could, we could, next month we could get a free trial under your name and then under your name. And we're like, we're probably doing that because that's wrong, but that's what we could do. And I had that dream like the next night or the night after, having that conversation with my kids. And then after I had a dream, I told my one son, I wonder if that dream was going, I didn't really plan on getting away with PureFlix, but kind of like how I didn't believe in my dream. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that probably would make you feel a little bit sheepish if you were able to get away from that, but you know that you could.
Yeah. That's not one of my most significant thoughts. So I was like, thinking about that, but what was the closest I could think of for right now? What could make me feel like I got away with something or got something for free?
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, I would just say, how does that fit with you? I mean, dreams don't necessarily have to be about something deep or about something big, because that's something
you were processing.
Yeah. You were processing something that had just happened, and then you had a dream about it. So, I mean, the fact that you kind of already felt the connection, and that fits really well, the interpretation fits really well with the scenario that you just described. But I think it'll be, how do you feel?
Does it feel like a fit?
Does it feel like a fit or no?
I think so, but I don't know. And I don't mean to be interpreting my dreams on here. You're interpreting my dream.
Well, but see, the Holy Spirit in you will lead you into all truth. And so it will either feel like it sits right or it doesn't sit right. And if it doesn't sit right, it's like a puzzle piece. You don't force a fit. And so that's why we're asking you that question. Because on another level, let me ask you something. Are you exercising your prophetic giftings at church?
No.
No? Have you done anything like that recently?
Like, ever exercise my prophetic giftings?
Well, I mean, just like kind of guessed at something recently and found out you were right or something like that?
No, the only thing that came up, and I didn't mention this to anybody besides, well, I think people that didn't know her, my cousin, I had a dream about her, and I dreamt that, because I do occasionally get words like,
right,
that I for somebody, but I've never told anyone.
Right.
But I had this dream about my cousin, and she was baking meat pies, and I was thinking something is ending, like some tradition. And then I told someone, I said, then her grandma died. And I said, I think that's what the dream was about, was that the tradition was ending.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the closest I've come to telling somebody that something I kind of had a prophetic feeling about.
And did it fit with her?
Yes.
Okay.
I asked her if she makes meat pies, and she said yes, but that's all I asked her.
Oh, okay. No. So you didn't share the dream with her?
No, I didn't share. I said I dreamt it that you were doing this.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't tell after the fact.
Okay.
Do you think it has something to do with your grandma? It was nothing like that.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. So this probably isn't a fit, but the reason I'm going to share is because I want people to understand what my brain is thinking right now, because this is why I'm asking these questions. Because dreams, like, it could be as simple as you just, like, your conscience processing what you just went through with PureFlix or whatever. However, before I had listened to you talk about it, and everything. Okay. And I was just objectively listening without being able to ask you any questions because you recorded it on the website. I was thinking, for one, your daughter could represent your gifting, because children are often our giftings. And if your gifting is a prophetic gifting, so I was thinking about that. And then your daughter's name is El. El is the name of God, right?
Right.
Elohim, El Shaddai, you know, his angels always have the word EL in them. And so I was thinking it might be a gift from God, that you were kind of shocked you just kind of took a stab at something prophetically, maybe, and mm-hmm. found yourself right. Like, not completely, like, you know, like you're, you know, in the dream, your multiple choice, you know, you didn't get it totally right, but you got some, you know, you were being given another chance. And so I was just wondering if you haven't been maybe pleasantly surprised that you've been right about some prophetic things lately. Is that possible?
I was definitely, even though it might not be the right interpretation, I was pleasantly surprised, not at a death, but it felt linked in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been a couple times that it hasn't really been so much lately with other people, but, and I can't even pinpoint something at the moment, but I have had feelings that I was going to, or feelings from a dream, woke with an exact dream that gave me the idea, usually, that something was going to happen in my life, and then it would happen.
Right. Yeah.
And that was pleasantly surprising.
Yeah. And so I think it could mean both things, you know? Dreams can have multiple dimensions. They're not in this realm, right? They are,
right.
We are body, soul, and spirit. And this is a much deeper teaching for a future episode, but we're body, soul, and spirit. So you can have dreams that will reflect all of the above, you know?
Right.
You can have a soul and spirit dream all at the same time. And maybe that's what you had. Maybe on the one thing, it was the soul thing. Your choices, your mind, will, and emotions is your soul. And so maybe your choices mm-hmm. that you just made with PureFlix and your processing, your conscience is causing you to dream this because you're processing, you know, did I just get away with something? You know, and then on a whole nother level, on a spirit level, you know, maybe, and the other reason I was thinking it might be a prophetic gifting thing is because you said sheepish. And when I hear sheep, I think of God's sheep, you know?
Okay.
And maybe, you know, prophesying to God's sheep, sheepish, you know? And I'm stretching. Maybe that's a stretch, but I just brainstorm a million ideas and see what fits and let fall what falls and let fit, you know, mm-hmm. let those things that fit. But, it doesn't hurt to brainstorm. And as I've said in previous episodes, you know, you're not entitled to an interpretation. It's okay to be wrong. And so mm-hmm. I just want to show people how we brainstorm, how sometimes it fits, sometimes it doesn't. But the dreamer will always know if it's a right fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, do you feel like, you know, there's that dream now fits somewhere or two or three places?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. Listen, I know we're almost running out of time, but I know you said you had a lot of recurring dreams. And mm-hmm. I think, Jennifer, have we covered recurring dreams in a previous episode?
We have. We talked about it a little bit. Yeah, dreams that you have more than one.
So mm-hmm. I thought, you know, maybe this might be a really quick, if we could just really quickly, can you tell us what the quick theme is about your a frequent recurring dream? What is the theme of it?
The main one is probably going down a hill really fast or up a hill and the vehicle flipping backwards because it's so steep.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Oh, and flying and crashing. I don't know if they're all the similar thing.
Okay. So different dreams? Like some dreams are crashing, some dreams are just flipping?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how the dreams end, in a crash or the car flips over?
Yeah, just mostly flipping or else just a really steep hill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take it, Jen.
Yeah, so I would just say that that inside of you, there's a feeling that there's this difficult thing that you've got to overcome. And I think what you're seeing played out in the dream is that there's this fear that it's going to be too difficult. Maybe you're going to, quote, crash and burn, not to be too obvious, or things are going to turn over in a bad, you know, this is not going to turn out. Instead, it's going to turn over and I'm not, come back on me. I'm not going to be able to keep moving forward. So I would say that that's probably something that you're dealing with on like a deeper level, feeling like something's before you that you feel like maybe you're not going to be able to overcome. And I would say that that's not true.
Right.
If I was, this is not the dream interpretation, but I would say
it's how you're feeling. Yeah.
Which the dream is how you're feeling. The dream is recurring because right. it's a feeling that you have that's carried with you. And if you were here in front of me or if you were somebody that I was talking to, I would say, but God says that's not true. There's nothing is impossible with God. The Bible says that God works out all things to the good for those that love him or are called according to his purpose, and that he's the God of the impossible. So I would say whatever you feel like you can't overcome, you can do all things. And so I would sit with God and just pray, like, God, here are these dreams that I'm having that are recurring. And I know that all things are possible with you. Help me work through why I keep having
these dreams.
And I think you'll be amazed at immediately the flood of information that you will get from the Lord, because it's almost like the dreams keep recurring, because I think you've backed up a lot of spiritual resources behind you, mm-hmm. and there's this pressure to move forward. And so I think as soon as you work through with the Lord why you feel like you can't get over this hill, I think there you're going to have this amazing amount of momentum.
That's awesome, Jennifer.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. So does that feel like a fit? Like you always feel like it's an uphill battle, like there it's hard to overcome stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there something in particular that you have in mind? You don't have to tell us, but.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, without any doubt.
Okay. Well, maybe we can pray for you. Yeah. And all those listening that have had similar recurring dreams. A recurring dream happens because it's an issue in our heart that keeps recurring. We haven't resolved the mm-hmm. issue. So it's an unresolved issue, problem, mindset, whatever. That we have not overcome yet. And that's all it is. It doesn't mean it's thus saith the Lord. It means it keeps coming up in your conscience because it's still an issue. Mm-hmm. And so right. God has the solution and he can solve anything. And his word is alive and living and doesn't return void. And so what you need to do is, like Jennifer said, find scriptures and get with the Lord and get his mind on the issue, you know? And you'll kind of see it resolve. But Jennifer, do you want to pray or do you want me to pray just for her or for everybody listening that's having these unresolved issues?
Yeah, I'd be happy to pray. And then I guess we're ready to close out too. So, amen. Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you for speaking to us through dreams. And thank you for highlighting Blair's dreams today and for the recurring dreams that she's been having, that you're allowing those things to come into your light. And we just ask that you would overwhelm her with your wisdom from heaven as she seeks you about the meaning, and that you would speak to her through your word and to her heart. And for all those that are out there listening that have dreams that keep coming up, that have questions in their heart, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep seeing this? That we just pray that you would shine your light of wisdom and revelation on them, that they would receive new understanding about their recurring dreams, God, and that you would just bring increased freedom and insight and your presence into their lives and into those dreams, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Blair, for joining us today and for being vulnerable and sharing your dreams with us. We hope to have you on a future episode. And we bless you all. We pray God gives you sweet and holy dreams, and may you be blessed above and beyond all you can ask or imagine. Until next time, good night.
To connect with us on social media or sign up to be on our email list, please be sure to go to gatewaytodreams.com for links and other resources. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gateway to Dreams. Until next time, may God bless you above and beyond. The information shared on this podcast is the sole opinion of Above and Beyond and is not to be used as medical advice. If you need professional help, consult with a professional therapist or a physician.